This podcast was recorded Thursday, May 1st at 10:32 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this. Yeah, like it'll turn out that projections about the Cleveland Browns draft picks will be better than projections of the economic benefits of a taxpayer-subsidized domed stadium. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollygosters, those shrewd politicians who still support tax money for stadiums, even though study after study show they rarely pay off. I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, modernizing indecent exposure. But first, for some reason, we like to judge new presidential administrations by what they do in their first 100 days. It does not matter that administrations last at least 1,461 days. The first 100 are quite important. Why? Well, my guess is we like round numbers. But the first 100 days are important. A new president, fresh off a big win in the election with the public support behind him, can use the initial period to get things done and get things done quickly. President Trump's first 100 days of his second term, they've been a whirlwind. Scores of executive orders, slashing of federal agencies, thousands of layoffs of government employees, deportations, increasing tariffs, cutting tariffs, carving out exemptions to tariffs. It has made these 100 days not a honeymoon for the Trump administration, but a baptism by fire for the nation. And the nation remains divided. And President Trump remains pretty unpopular across the nation and here in Ohio. Nationally, only 45% of Americans approve of President Trump's performance. 52% disapprove. Here in Ohio, a new poll shows 47% approve while 48% disapprove. Basically, a statistical tie. That poll was done by YouGov and Bowling Green University. The poll's co-director, Bowling Green political science professor Robert Alexander, joins us now on Snollygoster. Robert, welcome back. It's great to talk with you again.
Good to talk to you, Michael.
First, we have to start with our trigger warning. We in the NPR ecosystem love trigger warning, so let me warn you, listeners, this podcast will include a lot of numbers, so you may want to grab a pencil and paper. Anyway, Ohio is strong Trump territory, but 3 months and 1 week into his presidency, his popularity has slipped. Robert, what's the biggest takeaway from your poll?
Well, there's several, and I think your intro was spot on. Folks that might have forgotten just what a whirlwind a Donald Trump presidency is, and it certainly has been that in the first 100 days. So there's been a lot of activity. I do think that one of the biggest takeaways is that you see across the nation, as you pointed out, that his popularity has slipped. But Ohio has been a pretty safe state for Trump. Our poll is actually a 10+10 Trump poll. So in our weighting of it, we did wait to 2020 and 2024 outcomes. So it's not like we're just taking a look at just, 800 random people. We definitely baked that in.
So you built in a 10-point lead. You built in a 10-point lead for the president.
Yeah, we built in a 10-point lead for Trump. So it's a pretty, significant pro-Trump sample. And even with that, he's at a -1 favorability rating. So that's not a good thing. So, you've got these national polls showing that Trump is slipping, but he's also slipping in a state like Ohio, where it's been pretty red in recent elections.
Now, you did a poll back in February, and the president's approval rating has slipped 7 points just since then.
Yeah, it has slipped 7 points since then. And I think a couple of other things stand out to your first question. One is that, there's more concern about the economy more generally. In that first poll that we did back in February, inflation was a little bit bigger. But now the economy in general is becoming more of a deal for people, is the most important issue. And then the tariffs, the Trump tariffs, I think is something that there's a good amount of trepidation for among a lot of Ohio voters. And we see this even with some Republicans that are a little less. I mean, most of what you see in the poll is really broken down by Democrats and Republicans. They just see the world in two very different ways. But even on the tariffs, there's a little bit of pause among Republicans who are pretty supportive of Trump.
Yeah. Now, you ask, when this poll is done, you ask people if they strongly approve or somewhat approve or disapprove of the candidate in question. And the number that pops out at me is on the disapprove side for President Trump. 43% of Ohioans strongly disapprove of President Trump. 5% somewhat disapprove. There's no a lot of gray area on those who disapprove of his performance.
No, he has been a polarizing figure, and by polarizing here, I mean you can get into, you know, issues and all those kinds of things, but people have very strong feelings toward Trump, and Trump in particular. You see in a lot of the other candidates that we polled and public figures that we polled that there's a lot of people that don't really even have much of an opinion on them. And we'll probably talk about that when we talk about Senate and gubernatorial candidates. But at the presidential level, yeah, Trump elicits some very passionate feelings.
You mentioned this breaks down pretty partisan. Democrats oppose the president. Republicans are still largely in his camp. How about independents? How are they viewing the president? How are Ohio independents viewing the president?
That's been one of the areas, right? The independents are always the holy grail. A lot of people call themselves independents, but typically kind of do fall on one side of the political scale. Independents tend to be among the least informed of those in when we're studying politics. But that is the one area where we've seen some slippage with Trump. And so that movement that we're seeing really isn't among Democrats and Republicans. It's really among independent voters. Another group that you see is young people. And so those were some areas that Trump did very, very well with in 2024. And we're seeing that there's some slippage there among those groups.
You mentioned the tariffs. Trump is underwater on the support for his tariffs, but the tariffs really haven't. We're starting to see some effects, perhaps, you know, at the grocery store or at the car dealer lot or things like that. But they really haven't had a big impact yet. Is this based on fear of tariffs and that kind of thing?
I think it is. I think that, you know, the economists are pretty much lined up saying that there's going to be some short-term forces for sure that are going to, that people are going to see at the grocery store and the car lots and so on. I think that the administration itself has said, look, this is not going to be pretty. This is going to take some time, but, you know, in the long haul, we need to stand firm. I mean, they have a lot of that. I think that there's been a lot of conversation about the Dow Jones and the NASDAQ and that as well. But, you know, one of the things that we asked, and I'm glad that we asked it, was like, who do you think is going to benefit or not benefit from the tariffs?
This was interesting.
I find that interesting. And really, the perception is that most people don't think they're going to benefit. They do think, and this is fascinating to me because it's hard to find 2 out of 3 people to agree on anything when it comes to politics, but 2 out of 3 folks in the poll believe that the wealthy will be the beneficiaries of the tariffs. And 60-40 margin, they believe that large corporations are gonna benefit. And again, you know, when it comes to labor unions, when it comes to the middle class, when it comes to the working class, those are all, you know, under 50%.
Yeah.
And so they don't think that they're going to benefit. And then, you know, we even asked this question, do you think you're personally going to benefit? And most people don't think that they're personally going to benefit from them. So I think that, in fact, you know, a large majority don't think that they're going to benefit. So
yeah, if I'm a Democrat reading that poll, I'm circling that number. 66% think, you know, the rich and big corporations are going to benefit from the tariffs. And that to me is that's a talking point just waiting to be written there.
If I were a consultant, that's something I would be pounding on over and over and over again. I mean, you've got a billionaire president. You've got a billionaire, you know, world's richest man who's kind of in the administration with Elon Musk and Doge. I would hit that. I mean, there was certainly something to be said back in 2016 when Bernie Sanders and Trump both emerged as pretty powerful voices, and there was some crossover in some of their voters among folks that wanted to break the system and thought that the system was rigged against them. And so I think that is certainly an area that if you're a Democrat, you should probably be pouncing on.
Now, it is early. We're only 101, 102 days in here. But only 3% of those polled in your survey say they regret their vote. What's going on there?
Yeah, that's a tough one because, you know, most people, when you think of the tribalism that goes on in politics, most people don't want to admit that they're wrong, first of all. I mean, that's just not something that people want to openly admit. And then secondly, that tribalism with politics is like, I'm going to stay with my team. I'm going to stick with my team. That kind of negative partisanship is really strong. But you do find among that 2-3% that regret their vote, that it is disproportionately folks that voted not for Kamala Harris, but for Trump or a third candidate. And you will also find that number is disproportionate among young people.
Interesting.
Again, kind of plugging in on that, you know, maybe their first experience with politics, and they see this and they go, huh, maybe I didn't know really what I was getting myself into. It's a small number, but it can be a consequential number in a tight race.
Yeah, 8% of independents in your survey say they regret their vote, which is bigger than the 3%. So there you go. The people in the
Absolutely.
middle who maybe voted for Trump because they didn't like the way, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden were handling things, and now they're saying maybe, this might be going too far. But again, it is very early. When we come back, we'll look at how Ohioans view candidates and potential candidates for statewide office in 2026.
Planet Money helps you understand the economy. We find the people at the center of the story.
Garbage in New York, that was like a controlled substance.
We show you how money influences everything.
Tell me what you like by telling me how you spend your money.
And we dig until we get answers.
I had a bad feeling you're going to bring that up.
Planet Money finds out. All you have to do is listen. The Planet Money podcast from NPR.
Welcome back to Snollygoster. It is early, but really not that early. Ohio's 2026 primary is only about a year away, and the campaign has begun. We've seen ads on TV. Candidates are making the rounds, certainly among party faithful. So the Bowling Green poll gives us an early glimpse of how those races will shape up. Poll co-director Robert Alexander, let's start with how Ohioans view the top contenders. If you look at them in the aggregate, it seems like for all of them, a third approve of them, a third oppose them, and a third, maybe up to a half, really don't know enough to make a decision just yet. Is that what you saw?
That's what I see is that there's a lot of folks that, you know, it's interesting. All of us have more of an impact at the state level, and state level politics have more of an impact upon us. And yet that's the one area that a lot of Ohioans and a lot of folks across the country indeed don't have as much knowledge about. And so when we pulled these public figures in Ohio, there's a lot of individuals where, you know, majority or plurality have no opinion on a number of these public figures. So they're not exactly sure how to feel about them. So there's a lot of ground to be made up. When you do attach the label Democrat or Republican to them, that definitely gives a cue to a lot of the folks in our poll. And that lines them up on one side or the other. But for a lot of people, you know, Ramaswamy, Jim Trussell, Dave Yost, Amy Acton, Tim Ryan, they're a blank slate on a lot of those individuals. So this is where campaigning can actually make a difference.
Some of these numbers popped out to me. Let's take Amy Acton, for example. 28% approve, 23% disapprove, 49% not sure. Now, this is a woman. Now, it's been a few years now. It's been 5 years, but she was on TV every day, had a lot of goodwill built up, also had a lot of opposition from Republicans. But I was surprised that 49% still not sure. Maybe they just haven't seen enough of her as a politician yet.
I think that's the case, is that, you know, they might remember the name, but they don't know anything about really her politics, and perhaps they just don't want to pull the trigger on, do I like this person or do I not like this person? And so, you know, that's a little bit of a commitment that you might have to make. And folks aren't quite ready to get there yet. But yeah, a lot of people are not tuning in to the statewide campaign at this point. And so you see I think a bit of the artifact in the support that we see is on who is getting airtime. And Vivek Ramaswamy is obviously kind of the most known of these characters, certainly among Republicans. But yeah, even like a Jim Trussell, it's fascinating. When we did the poll back in February, it was shocking to me as somebody who watches Ohio State football, somebody who's been around the block a little bit. that a lot of folks don't have their minds made up on Jim Tressel. But again, we're talking, you know, I think the frame is politics, not necessarily football. So it's odd probably to folks that are listening to your podcast that people wouldn't have their mind made up on Amy Acton, on Ramaswamy, on Dave Yost, because we follow politics. We're paying attention to these things, but that's not where most people are.
As I tell my staff, we are not normal.
In the best ways, right?
Yes. We pay attention to every little development when most people are too concerned about getting their kids to school, checking their retirements, and planning their next vacations and getting their jobs done. Anyway, it's you know, Ramaswamy has been up on the air TV, so his not sure is only 23%. That's certainly the lowest, except for Sherrod Brown. I mean, people have pretty much made up their mind on Sherrod Brown and Vivek Ramaswamy. They're getting there. You did a bunch of hypothetical 2026 matchups: Amy Acton versus Vivek Ramaswamy, John Husted versus Sherrod Brown. And without getting into the numbers too deeply, in all of these races, the Republicans beat the Democrat by between 2 and 7 points. For instance, John Husted beat Sherrod Brown by 2 points, again, basically tied statistically. And Amy Acton looks competitive against Vivek Ramaswamy.
Yeah, I think this is a little something for everybody to take away to kind of feel a little bit good in this poll. If you're, and again, you know, this was a plus 10 Trump sample. So we're trying to account for a lot of this polling error that we've seen in state level polls that have undercounted Republican support. So, you know, we think that we're in the ballpark on that. And Republicans are doing well, so that they can say, look, we're sweeping in the state. It is very early. Mm-hmm. Democrats can also say, look, we're close in that margin of error. We're just a few points off. So they seem to be somewhat competitive. I think only Ramaswamy was the only one that had, you know, majority support right at 50%. So that means that people maybe haven't made up their minds as much. The thing that, you know, should be a little concerning for Republicans is that midterm elections, the president's party virtually almost always loses seats once in those midterm elections. So the support for the Republicans is expected to decline in a midterm election. So that provides either hope for Democrats or a little bit of pause for Republicans. And again, Ohio has certainly tilted to the right. So it's an uphill climb for Democrats for sure. But, you know, there's, like I said, little signs of sunshine for both Democrats and Republicans in this poll.
Yeah, certainly just a good snapshot of where we stand very early in the Trump administration and with a year to go before primary voters, at least, pick their nominees for statewide office in Ohio in 2026. My thanks to Bowling Green political science professor Robert Alexander, co-director of the Bowling Green poll. We'll put a link to the poll in the narrative or whatever you call it for podcasts. I don't know what you call those things. Anyway, the words on the screen. We'll put the link there. Robert, thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Michael. Always a pleasure.
Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the past half fortnight. Ohio lawmakers' obsession with drag queens continues. They have introduced another bill that would ban what they call adult cabaret performances in public. The sponsors are Republican state reps Josh Williams of suburban Toledo and Angela King of far western Ohio. Basically, they want to ban drag queen shows in all locations except for bars, restaurants, and nightclubs. Supporters say it protects children. Opponents call it censorship. We've heard the arguments many times before. But what caught our eye was the name of this bill. It is the Indecent Exposure Modernization Act. Don't you love the names of these bills? There has to be a writer's room at the State House where they brainstorm the bill's names. But the Indecent Exposure Modernization Act, who knew mooning someone needed modernizing? But for their shrewd creativity, Reps Williams and King, or more likely their staffs, get our Snollygoster of the Week award. That will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster, which is part of the NPR network. Please be sure to give us a good review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast, and just tell your friends about us. For our student producer, Katie Genius, our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, and our audio engineer, Dalton Jones, I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.